Tonight I'd like to talk to you about the gospel of heaven, the good news of heaven, the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. If you'll turn your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 1, and we will begin reading there. Colossians chapter 1, and we read Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. The hope that is laid up for you in heaven. And we want to talk about that hope and all the things that are enveloped in this hope of heaven. And some of the things that we're thinking of here is the hope that is promised to us. And that is that hope that is laid up in heaven. It's laid up for us in heaven, as Paul wrote here in Colossians. It's something that we look forward to be in that wonderful realm called heaven. That eternal home, that place of eternal rest that we'll look at this evening. John, if you remember Jesus in John chapter 14 and verses 1 through 3, and Jesus he's talking to his disciples. And in retrospect, he's talking to us. And he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me, believe also in my Father. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Now listen, he said he's gone to prepare a place for you, for me. That place is in heaven. That's that eternal abode, that place of rest. And he said, "If I go to prepare a place for you, then I will return again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also." Isn't that a great bit of good news? The good news of heaven. Right out of the mouth of the Lord, who is going to usher us right into heaven. In 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 4, we read about this heavenly inheritance. He says that, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope." That living hope that comes through the resurrection of Jesus, who is the one who's in heaven, who said he's going to come back for you. He's going to come back. And he's going to give us the incorruptible inheritance, that an undefiled inheritance. And that's an inheritance that will never fade away. And he says it's reserved for you in heaven. You think about that. An inheritance reserved in heaven. We're talking about a blessed hope of heaven, the gospel of heaven, the good news about heaven. This is a real place. This is a place where God is and where Jesus is and the Holy Spirit is. This is a place that has been described, and we'll look at some of that tonight. But it is a place that is, it's a good news place. That's where our living hope is, in heaven. That's where we want to be one day. is heaven. In Matthew chapter 25, in verse 34, remember what the king is going to say. What is he going to say to you and to me if we remain faithful, if we keep our eyes focused and our hope on heaven? The King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's going to say, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It's all yours." I don't think I could think of any better news than to realize that by faith in Christ Jesus and by His will and by through His blood, I could be in heaven one day eternally with Jesus, a place that never fades away. A glorious place. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, and in verses 8 and 10, in Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in a land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob and the heirs with him of the same promise. And he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know, Abraham, we're like Abraham. Abraham had faith. God said, "There's a better place for you." And he went, and he did everything he could with patience. He went out, and he went to receive the inheritance, not knowing where he was going. We don't know, apart from the Scripture, what heaven's going to be like, but we do know it's going to be glorious. We do know that it's going to be eternally glorious. We do know that that's a better place than where we are now. In verse 16, "But now they desire a better," that is, a heavenly country. "Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, and He has prepared a city for them." Heaven. That's where I want to be. In chapter 13, in verse 14, we read, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come." Heaven. That's the blessed and glorious good news. It's new heavens, new earth that will be ours. Remember, God is going to create these things for us. In 2 Peter, let's read that. 2 Peter. We don't want to miss this. 2 Peter chapter 3, in verses 10 through 14. Peter writes, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt in the fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" All these things that we see today, that's not the good news. This isn't the good place to be. This is not our home. We're just a passing through. But there's going to be a better place, because all this will be taken away. Listen, 13, "Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens, for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in Him in peace, without spot and blemish. We want to go to heaven. We want to take the promise of Jesus, of that mansions, of those rooms or mansions in the sky, in heaven rather. We want to be with Jesus when He comes back, and we want to hear those precious words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So we have to be cautious now, looking and hastening for the coming of the Lord. And we need to be a people who are diligent to be found in Him in peace, without spot or blemish. We need to work really hard, don't we, to find that blessed hope and the gospel of heaven, the good news of heaven. We have no continuing city here. We seek the one to come. That's heaven. Revelation 3, talking to the church in Philadelphia. Jesus says, "He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God." I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go out no more, Jesus said. And then Jesus goes and he says, "I will write on him a name of my God, the name of my God, the new Jerusalem which comes down from heaven from my God. I will write on him a new name." What an exciting moment that will be. Just imagine, everything's gone, everything's going to be made new, and a name will be written upon us. And this great new name with the new Jerusalem coming down or coming out of heaven. And listen, that new Jerusalem, we're not talking about a city like in Jerusalem, the Jerusalem city that we read so much. This is a spiritual place. It's a place that belongs to God. It's a place where everything is pure. It's a place where everything is right, where nothing defiled enter in. It's a place we want to be. It's the good news of heaven. In Revelation chapter 21 and 1, it's that new Jerusalem that's coming down out of heaven that is prepared as the bride adorned for her husband. That's the church. That's where we want to be. Listen, if we remain faithful, our hope can be realized. We can see that new heaven. We can be a part of that new heaven, rather. And that when the first heaven and the first earth passes away, when the sea is no more. And we can realize that. We can be a part of that. We can be a part of the new heaven and the new earth. And that new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, that new Jerusalem that's prepared and adorned for her husband, that's the church, and her husband is Jesus. The one who says, "I will come back and receive you unto myself." That new Jerusalem is the antithesis of the great Babylon in the book of Revelation. It's the exact opposite of everything bad. And picture that in your mind. It's the exact opposite of everything bad. That means it's the perfect picture of everything good. Everything desirable. Everything that you want. Everything your heart yearns for. Everything that every ache in your body says, "I wish I was there." And you will be there. And that's the good news about heaven. Babylon is represented in the book of Revelation as the woman who is clothed in purple, scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having her in her the golden cup full of abominations. And everything that is evil, everything that is unclean, everything that is immoral is represented there by that Babylon, drunk with the blood of the saints. No good news there. But listen, that's where people who are not like you are going to be one day, with that great Babylon, separated from everything that is good and pure. We want to be in that better place. And instead of coming down out of heaven and over the overthrow the harlot that's described as fallen, fallen is Babylon. That's what the Scripture says. Fallen, fallen is Babylon. Revelation chapter 18 and verse 2. You know, the saints addressed in the book of Revelation were exhorted to overcome. They were exhorted to overcome. We read that. We need to be diligent. We need to be watching. The saints in Philadelphia, the Lord promised, He said, I will write upon him the name of my God. Heaven is a place we want to be. The New Jerusalem is a perfect, it's an ideal city. And it's prepared for those who are victorious through Christ. Revelation chapter 21. You're victorious through Christ. When you've listened and you've obeyed and you've been baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. Now Christ is in you, as we talked this morning. And you're victorious through the blood of Christ. You remain faithful. You keep your eyes focused on heaven. You do the things that God has called you to do. And you will be in that number. Remember the song we sang, that roll that's called up yonder. You'll be there. We need to live in such a way that we may enter in to that good place called heaven. In Revelation chapter 21... verses 5 and following. Revelation 21. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. He said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the foundation of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. You see that? He who overcomes, I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But we don't want to stop there. We want to be, remember the warnings, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderous, sexually immoral, sorceries, immoral sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We don't want to be a part of that group. We want to remain steadfast. We want to overcome through the blood of Christ and the power of God. God will be dwelling with His people, Revelation 21:3. And in that place there will be no tears, no sorrow, no death, no crying, Revelation 21:4. And all things will be made new for the overcomers. I think you're overcomers. I think you overcome this world. You overcome sin. You walk in the Spirit of truth and righteousness. And Jesus has got His eye on you. God has got you in His head. And you are an overcomer. The fact that you're here tonight tells me you are an overcomer. You overcome that gnawing desire just to stay home and relax. You're tired. But you overcome. You overcome those words in your head that I only need to be here on Sunday morning. I don't need to come Sunday night. And you overcame. You're an overcomer. And you should take note of that. Put that in your wallet. Because that's worth a whole lot more than any money that you have. Being an overcomer. Listen, furthermore, our hope is described. John was shown this new Jerusalem as he looked out into heaven, Revelation 21, verse 9 and 10. the one of the seven angels that had the seven bowls filled with the seven plagues, came to me, John, and talked with me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain, and he showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. I hope that's crystal clear. That the church is thought of in such a glorious way, and you are a part of that, you overcomers. Having the glory of God, crystal clear. And this city we're talking about, high walls, 12 gates, 12 foundations, and it's a city 1,500 miles square. No little place. A wall 216 feet high around the city. It's a place of comfort. It's a place where you feel like there's just nothing that can hurt you. You are protected by the glory of God, and you're in a place where there's no harm can ever come to you ever again. And they're glorious place. It's a glorious walls described of jasper, a city of gold, foundations of precious gems and gates of pearl, streets of gold. All these things are just glimpse, imaginative writings that describe something that really can't be described. Wonderful place. Heaven. And as we go on to describe heaven, God and the Lamb are the temple and the light. And you know what a temple is? It's a place that's devoted to special purpose. That's what they define that as. A building devoted to the worship or the regard as a dwelling place of safety. And Jesus, the Lamb, and God in heaven are your temple. You're not going to walk into a brick building anymore that falls down when the winds blow and the earth shakes. It can't be burned down by fire. You don't have to worry if the air conditioning or the heater works in the summer and the winter. You're in God, in heaven, in Jesus. They are the temple. They are the thing that's going to protect you. They're that place where you can worship in joy and in spirit and in truth. That's heaven. That building is God. And that's where I want to be. And listen, Revelation 21 verse 27, it tells us that it's only for those whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. As we look at this, we're the saved who will walk in the light. The kings bring their glory and that of the nations to it. But it's only for those in the Lamb's Book of Life. I think that's a pretty important subject, the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? If you're an overcomer, your name is there. If you've obeyed the gospel of Christ and you remain obedient, your name is there. Your name is in that Lamb's Book of Life. Every great hymn has some kind of story behind it, doesn't it? I think Brother Robert would know that better than I would. But every great hymn has a story behind it. We just sung a hymn, a glorious hymn, a hymn that Brother Randy described as something it has to be in the book because it's been sung for years and years and years by the saints. When the roll is called up yonder, that roll is like the Lamb's Book of Life. When you sing that song, you're singing a song that is reminding us that our name is in this Lamb's Book of Life. And listen to the song. It says, when the roll is called up yonder. It doesn't say if the roll is called up yonder. It doesn't say the day that it's called up yonder. It doesn't say maybe the roll will be called up yonder. It says when the roll is called up yonder, you will be there. That's the promise. That's the glory. That's the joy. And that's the good news about heaven. This hymn speaks to a role that will certainly be called. Your Bibles are abounding in the affirmations that this is inevitable. It's an event that is inevitable. It will take place. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 tells us that we need to be watching. Because the Lord is going to come back. He's going to come back like a thief in the night. We don't know when. Jesus tells a parable of 10 virgins, and the whole point there is, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour which the Son of Man is coming. But we need to be a part of that water of life and that tree of life. God's servants will serve and reign forever. Think of that. That's you. That's the overcomers. That's those who have obeyed Christ. Those who are washed by the blood of the Lamb. Those who walk in righteousness, not of their own righteousness, but because Christ lives in me. It's His righteousness. You know, John portrays an awesome judgment scene when he talks about the dead standing before the great white throne to be judged. And he further reveals that the books were opened and another book was opened, which is called the Book of Life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in that book, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 and 12. I can see the role. I can see that there's names being called out one at a time. And I can imagine how it's going to feel to be standing there with anticipation, waiting and waiting and waiting to hear my name. And when they say my name, I am just going to faint. What an exciting time. What a place to be. And this is the Lord's roll book. In other words, it's in the omniscient mind of God. I don't think it's a physical book. I think it's all in God's mind. He knows every hair on your head. He knows how tall you are, how much you weigh. He knows when you pray in secret, and He rewards you in public. Paul alludes to this great thing when he says of those names that are in the Book of Life, Philippians 4 and 3. And since our names are registered in the roll book in heaven, we need to make sure that we live, that our names remain in that book. You know, there's so many old Bibles laying around. Even before I was a Christian, I saw Bibles. You open the Bible up and you look in the beginning here and it says, name, so-and-so, Bible given to. And then it has mother, father, grandmother, great-grandmother, great-grandfather, and so on and so on. And all the names of the children, when they were born. You know what that is? It means their names are in that book because they're part of that family. It's like that in heaven. When your name's in that book, you're part of the family. The family of God. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Not if, not maybe, but when. You know, the Hebrew writer speaks of this as he speaks of the general assembly of the church. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23, the general assembly of the church, the firstborn who are registered in heaven to God, the judge of all. Your name's registered. It's registered in God's book. And we're just excited, waiting for that roll to be called. And since God has us registered in heaven, how may we know that our names are enrolled there? Because we partake of the bread of life? Because we listen to the light of the world? You know, Jesus told the 70 when He sent them out that they had occasion for rejoicing because their names were written in heaven. Our names are written in heaven. We need to be a part of that spiritual family. One must be born again to be a part of that spiritual family. To have your name enrolled in heaven. You need to be born again. John chapter 3 tells us all about that. And one must be born again in Christ. A new creation, as Paul put it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Into Christ, being born again. A child of God. By faith. Galatians 3, 26 and 27 tells us of being baptized into Christ through faith. And then we're added to the book called the Lamb's Book of Life. When a roll is called up yonder. Revelation 22:14, blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. That wonderful city called heaven. You know, this text in Revelation 22:14 says, blessed are those who do His commandments. Have you done His commandments? I want to throw out a final concern here about the roll called up yonder. It's quite possible that there are people that are members of the church or even a church who have a roll, their name on a roll here on earth. I'm a member of this church. I'm a member of that church. But their names aren't in the roll called up yonder. Many people live under the delusion that their names are on some church roll here on earth. Therefore, my name is in heaven. And all is well. But we don't want to be those who labor with the notion that all will be well. We want to be sure that our names are in that book of life, in that roll to be called up yonder. That we live in a manner that is pleasing and correct in the eyes of God. So that our names, if they are in that book, aren't blotted out. What joy, what consolation that we derive from singing that song, when the roll is called up yonder. And we can truthfully sing that if we have obeyed the gospel. When the roll is called up yonder, I will be there. Heaven is glorious. God is glorious. We share in that great hope someday. That's where we all want to be. The gospel message is simple. It's good news. The good news of Jesus Christ. You believe the gospel of Christ. You hear it. And upon believing that, you simply confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're repenting of your sins. And having done those things, you're baptized into Christ. You're putting on Christ, and Christ is being put into you. And your name is added to the Lamb's Book of Life. If you haven't done that, I invite you to come forward now as we stand and as we sing.